Lord, this night we give you thanks for the precious gift of your Son. And we just invite you to open our hearts tonight to receive all that you would have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, I hope you've done your shopping as we have, as now that it's Christmas Eve. So I heard about a woman who was doing last-minute shopping. She went to a shopping mall, and it was Christmas Eve, and the mall was very crowded. And she was just tired of just fighting with all the crowds. She was tired of standing in the long lines. She was tired of fighting people to get inside aisles, trying to find a gift, finding that the gift had been sold out days before. And with her arms full of packages, an elevator opened up, and she's trying to get in, and it was completely full, but they managed to make a little room for her, and she squeezed in there. And as the doors closed, she blurted out. She said, "Whoever's responsible for this whole Christmas thing, they ought to be arrested, strung up, and shot." And a few in the elevator nodded, and a few grunted in agreement. And then from somewhere in the back of the elevator came a single voice that said, "Don't worry, they've already crucified him." The world has never understood Jesus. Our contemporary celebration of Christmas is with our beautifully decorated homes, perfectly shaped Christmas trees, and exquisitely wrapped packages, contrast with the event that we're really participating in tonight. You know, Christmas is not merely the celebration of an important figure where we get to have a day off and have a gathering with our family. But it's actually an event that changed the trajectory of our species. Before the birth of Jesus, humanity was spiraling toward destruction without hope of being rescued. Set on a collision course with death, we would have ceased to exist. The birth of Jesus altered that destiny, ushering in hope of salvation and eternal life. It's a great day of joy because glory came in dust. You know, Scripture says that God created human beings out of dust, but rather than reject this earthly dust, God embraced it by sending his eternal Son, filled with the glory of God, to share our human nature. God in the man Jesus became incarnate. Incarnate means that God took on human flesh. The glory of God became dust. We sing it every year in our Christmas carols, like in Hark the Herald Angels Sing, where Charles Wesley wrote, "Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity." So if you understand the word incarnation, you understand what Christmas is all about. The Apostles' Creed doesn't use the word incarnation, but it teaches the doctrine of incarnation when it says, "conceived by the Holy Ghost and born of the Virgin Mary." The child's birth we celebrate tonight is also the Son of God. In the scriptures describing Jesus' birth, we find repetitive references to the dual nature of this child born in Bethlehem. So there's a manger for the child and a star for the sun. There's a company of shepherds viewing the child, and a choir of angels celebrating the Son. And you find throughout the Gospels this repetition that appears throughout the life of Jesus to show the dual nature of this child. He was hungry himself to show his nature as a child, and yet feeding 5,000 with the power of the Son. At his death, dying on the cross as the Son of Adam, and at the same time imparting paradise as the Son of God. You know, no other religion claims the incarnation of the Son of God. On the one hand, you have religions that say that God is so immanent that he's in all things, that incarnation is actually something normative. So if you're a Buddhist or if you're a Hindu, God is immanent in everything. God is the divine spark in everything. And therefore, incarnation is something that's normative. God is incarnate in all kinds of people and things. Christians say that Jesus is God. And people from these traditions will say, yes, that's right, sure. We have no problem with that. And then on the other hand, you have religions like Islam and Judaism who says that God is so transcendent over all things that incarnation is impossible. Saying Jesus is God is blasphemous. But Christianity is unique. It doesn't say incarnation is normal, but it doesn't say that it's impossible. It says God is so immanent that it's possible, but he is also so transcendent that the incarnation of the Son of God was a singular event in human history. Christianity has a unique view on this, which sets it apart from everything else. So why the incarnation of the Son of God? Why was it necessary? Well, I was actually having a discussion with a Muslim not too long ago on this very topic. And he was telling me that Jesus didn't need to die on the cross. And Muslims don't believe he actually died. And he was telling me that that wasn't necessary. And so I asked him, so as a Muslim, what do you do when you sin? And he said, well, you just go before Allah and you confess your sin. And at that point, I realized that Muslims have a low view of sin. They don't grasp how serious the human condition actually is. Humans are born with a sinful nature because our original ancestors, the first human beings, rebelled against God and the plan that he had for all of humanity. As hard as we may try, every human being will live in rebellion against God and will suffer the consequences of sin. And if you don't believe that, just consider how broken our world is, revealed in all kinds of things like the evil war in Ukraine, which is going on, and the inevitability of death that we're all going to face. Jesus came into our world to save us from the power of sin and death. He had to be a man so that he could identify and sympathize with our weakness. Hebrews 4 says that Jesus was tempted in every way that we are, and yet without sin. Only a truly human mediator who had experiential knowledge of the woes of humankind and rose superior to temptations could enter sympathetically into all the experiences, trials, and temptations we face as human beings. Our nature required a child born in human state, as Jesus truly was. And at the same time, it was essential that this child be the divine Son of God. The justice of God requires that the same human nature which has sinned must pay for sin. But here's the reality. We human beings can't carry the weight of our sin. You know, so much of the pain, stress, shame, guilt, and physical torment we carry is related to our sin or the sins of others around us. And the weight of these is truly heavy. And some have learned to manage it by just living in denial, ignoring what's really going on inside. They're really very unaware. Others take medications or other therapies to find solace. And so others seek professional help. And for some, the pressure of it all will become so great that they will either take their lives or the lives of others. Sin is weighty, and the consequence is too much for our species to bear. And that's because all of us intuitively know that we will be held accountable to God for the way that we live our lives. Every sin has a consequence, and that consequence is death. The Son of God was born to bear the weight that we cannot carry. By the power of his divinity, he will bear the weight of the magnitude of sin and restore to us righteousness and life. He will offer himself as a sacrifice by taking upon himself the sin of the world and the punishment that we all deserve. And in so doing, he will earn for us eternal life and favor with God, ushering in the end of death and an eternity of significance in the kingdom of God. Before the birth of this God child on Christmas, there was no future for humanity. But now we rest our hope on him. The incarnation that we celebrate this night is a belief that we commit our lives to. It's what we hold on to. It's something that we base our lives on. It's that significant. Glory came in the dust because God had not forgotten his creation. He remembered that we are but dust, and yet he sent his Son into the world in order to save us. The depth of his love for us is revealed in the child born that we celebrate tonight. May this Christmas renew your faith in Jesus as you lay the burdens of sin on him and worship him as the newborn king, a king who has come to give us life and to save humanity. Amen.